And we're on again, and I'm really happy to say this is episode 39. We are entering into the last week of school, at least in elementary. I've got one more week to go.
Yep.
And I can't believe that we started 1 week before school started this year and talked about what was going on in our minds then. And now we've arrived here, and I can't wait to talk about what's going through our minds now with only 1 week left.
Yeah, it's... I've sort of thought about this in the terms of what, you know, there's no mapping strategy. Sorry, the big reveal here. Like, there's not a grand, actually, no, I won't say that. There is a mapping strategy. I think we do have a mapping strategy. And I think this is what's interesting about, if I think about the stuff that takes up a lot of time in education, it's the planning. It's the planning and the replanning. My whole last month and a half, I start mapping out closing for my students about six, I'm going to say anywhere between 6 to 8 weeks out, which is a half semester, like from midterm, where I'm starting to talk about with my students, okay, here's where we're going in the next few units. Here's where the summative tasks are, you know, where do we need to sort of move the pieces around a little bit? Here's when our culminating activities have to happen because we're at the end of the semester. There's no more extra time. It's a very different conversation between semester one and semester two, because often from semester one, we have time to fix things that are still loose or broken or squeaky. In semester two, you end up using up more time in semester two. But for instance, if a student doesn't finish a credit completely, we can sort of come back and do a recovery in second semester, but that eats out time from second semester, but it feels like extra time. When we hit the end of the school year, it, you know, in secondary, there's no time left. You hit that end of the school year, let alone the energy of transition is totally different between semesters than it is at in June. There's something in June that the mindset starts to be, the gravity of summer just starts pulling mindsets out of focus. And it just seems exponentially more difficult to bring it back to focus so that you can sort of stay on task with the work. So with all that being said, the planning and replanning, like I feel like I've talked about it before, that it's like Sudoku. You're moving these pieces, but it's a Sudoku that has more than one possible answer. And I don't have the mathematics to speak. I can speak about something I have no clue about what I'm speaking about right now. So I don't know if in a Sudoku, because when I do it, I feel like there's one answer. I feel like it's one answer based on the given information that's in the grid. But the planning for my program feels like that information in the grid is constantly changing. So when I make an agreement all the way up here in the top, one of the top squares, start to do that, you know, the numbers 1 through 9, the sequence of what's going to happen. And then I try to sort of make an agreement in the bottom corner over here, which is dependent on the 1 to 9 over here. I feel like sometimes the numbers just get changed. I'm like, okay, let's start again. And every time it almost has to be a full pseudo, like it has to be a full plan to make sense, because the partial plans don't work very well in my programming. So that's a big blah, blah, blah about, there's a little bit of decoded for, you know, our listeners. The thing about this podcast is that we do it, I think we do a ton of micro planning. And it's funny, sometimes the stuff that we talk about during the week that I feel like, oh yeah, totally, we're going to totally talk about this. What I'm kind of doing is it pops out in other places. So, you know, there's been things that we've shared or noticed with each other that I thought, yeah, you know what, I want to follow up with him on that. But what ends up becoming is kind of a provocation for me to talk to somebody else. So I'll ask a question and I'll pose it somewhere else. I don't know if you've ever noticed, like sometimes you and I have talked about something and then I'll throw a survey down on social media. And I realize that's my way of sort of getting to the conversation, honoring what you and I talked about. And sometimes it makes it back to our convo at the end of the week. Or sometimes maybe it just becomes an extension out of what, you know, we talk about in the on-ramp. You know, where we talked about relationships and connecting with parents and the challenge of problem solving with parents and us, and what table should that happen at? You know, does it always have to happen in the school? Can parents problem solve away from school? Like so many different things that become part of the microplanning. Like, I don't know how we get, you've mentioned it before, like, what's our podcast about? It's so in tune. This is the bizarre thing, and it boggles my mind. It's so in tune with my week that often my sense of satisfaction after having a conversation with you is I feel like I've closed the week. Not to say that the issues and the questions aren't still, I might have homework to do, as we sometimes say, but I feel like I've kind of closed the week with our conversation. And I didn't know that that was part of our purpose when we set out, but I'm digging that I'm getting those feels now. It's very satisfying to me, very satisfying. When it talks about some of the PD that I've done this year, I will say in the PD I've done this year, this has been bedrock for me, being able to talk the week out in the way that we do from two different contexts, two different families, two different places in Ontario, philosophically different as well. We come at some of the ideas from different points of view. We have landing spots where we do have common experience, but sticking through it. You know, in the on-ramp, we talked about the small talk elements. Like I never could imagine having that sort of hour-long conversation that was one-to-one like this. Like I don't have a lot of spaces where I do that one-to-one. I mean, you do these kind of podcasty things, but let's say in PD sessions, like there's a lot of people generally there. So I don't often get my ideas out. So I've really come to appreciate that conversations on Decoded really have had some way to close out my week. And I often feel kind of launched out of it and looking forward to the next conversation of the next week. I could be talking about PD. I could be talking about friendship. I don't know, but it just kind of works. I like the synthesis.
Nice. Well, it's neat to get perspective from secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that works well for us in terms of, it's really cool. I often envy classroom teachers that work closely with another classroom teacher. And I see that in my building. And I remember when I used to have that in other buildings, and I don't really feel like I have that in the building I'm in now. But I'm moving, so maybe I'll have that in my next building. I don't know. But it's really cool. It's always been rich to be able to have a teaching partner that you can do what you and I are doing. And it happens when you're at work. So it's even like it's you double up, right? Like you're at work doing your job, but at recess, lunch times before school, a little bit after school, you connect with your teaching partner and you negotiate things or you plan things. You evaluate things and it's constant. Like you're constantly doing it. It reminds me of two teachers at my school who we're literally sit at a computer together and plan things together. Like one of them will be typing up a note to the parents while they're conversing and they're creating this note. And I have to say it does cause me some jealousy because I don't have that. I don't have a teaching person in the building that I sit down with and that we make stuff that both of our kids are going to get. Mind you, the grade 5 French teacher, her and I, we do talk about ideas and stuff. And it's funny, at the beginning of the year, we were kind of working together in mathematics and we were kind of mapping out math concepts and how we were going to teach them, when we were going to teach them. And I give her 100% credit. She went out and she created things to help with the pedagogy. And I had used some of her stuff. And then I felt like I was not contributing to that learning experience. And so I backed away from using the stuff that she was creating, even though she said it was okay for me to use them. But I remember saying to her at one point, I'm sorry, I've not been able to like carry my own weight. So she talked to me about the Google Slides she created, how she was implementing that instruction, those lessons with her kids. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't look. I stopped using them because I've not been giving you anything. I've not been contributing to this experience. And I don't want it to be that you're creating stuff and I'm just using it. I'm not cool with that at all. So, but I mean, that teacher has always been there so that we could talk. So it's been good that way, but have we sat down and it'd be like, I create something or something pops into my head. I see something online and then I turn it into a unit of study. Or I don't even like to use the word unit anymore, an experience, a learning experience that involves different curriculum areas and different activities for students to show me that they've learned something and what they've learned. And I've been more than happy to say, hey, I just started this with my class. This is how it's going to play out here. Go nuts if you want to use it. But the sitting down business and being like, okay, this is what we're doing next week at the same time, and we're going to come into your room, you're going to come into our room. I don't have that. I don't have that in this building. So I hear you talk about that type of experience, and it reminds me of what I've seen, what I see, and what I've experienced. It's interesting because I'm okay to be alone, but there's some power to having someone that you can bounce ideas off of, that you can... Like, I miss going into other people's classrooms and teaching other students, not just my own. I kind of miss that. And in different ways, I've done that. Like at Christmas time, I went into the kindergarten classroom and I read a book to them, a Christmas story, one of my favorites, because there was a bit of a connection there. The kids were going to decorate my beard, right? Like they were going to do things to me. So I thought, well, I don't want it to just be a cold call. I should go in there and read to them and let them get a little bit of my vibe before they do this to me, kind of thing. So in elementary, let's bring it back to the panel. In elementary, when two people teach the same grade, sometimes they really mesh and they work very well together. And sometimes they work well together, but they don't need to sit down and do everything together. I had a teaching partner like that as well, where we got along great and we were able to use each other's ideas, but we didn't need to sit down and type letters to our parents together. It didn't need to be that way. Neither one of us were interested in doing that, but we were a solid team. And, you know, to this day, like, it just sits in my mind. The solid teams I've been part of, they just sit there and I enjoy those memories because it was such great learning for me as a teacher. And I felt like a fire under my rear end to contribute to that learning relationship, to that professional relationship, because I was taking something from it and I surely wanted to give back to it. I'm not feeling that these days, but there's a lot that goes into that for me. So, but it has happened. So I know it's possible for it to happen to me.
You make me so yesterday. I got a chance to yesterday afternoon, I went to the new school that I'll be attending, and their stories will come out about that. We'll say that'll be creep into season two. The change will be season two, the theme, the change. So the new school and the new program that I'm going into, it was interesting to be there because me knowing that I was going to be transitioning to the school happened a month ago. So I've been sort of, you know, you sort of sit on it like nothing. You just know that you're going to have to transition to this new place, but you can't really do much. You can, I mean, you can try and start to do planning, but then it's at the cost of everything else. It's like what I talked about, the semester one to semester two thing. We can fix the credit in semester two if a kid isn't successful in semester one, but it's at the cost of using up time in semester two. So the risk is then stuff falls off the table in semester two. There's no extra time. We've spoken of this. There's no extra time. You want to give things the time that you have. You want to know that by putting time into a project, relationships, you know, your personal time, that there's an intentionality out of it, around it, and that you can get some satisfaction from it. So I felt like this whole thing about me transitioning to the next school, I couldn't spend any time with it. Like there was no time to spend on it. other people are, because there's the reverberations of change. I'm carrying, I'm like patient zero, infecting other people. So I know that I'm going to have to deal at some point, but the fact that I have change going on impacts other people. And I may have mentioned, you know, my colleague who's trying to wrap her head around what it'll mean to have a new teacher in working with her, and sort of what will the space look like. Like, she's trying to map that out next. I'm just kind of carrying it because my next is 30 kilometers away at another school. So being able to get to that place yesterday afternoon was great, because it removed things. It started to remove the assumptions and started to clarify what it is I needed to work on. So again, that's going to be part of my professional development this summer. Getting a clue about what I'm going to do next is on me to start doing my homework. So that's summer style, taking a couple courses, doing some research, creating some resources. The interesting moment was, so I'm primarily in an ASD program. But one of the sections I'm actually out, and I'm going to be teaching a learning strategies course, which I'm fine with. That's cool. I dig that kind of stuff, and it's cool. I'm as it stands now, it could change. It's a grade 12 learning strategies, which is a bit of a unicorn into itself, because often at secondary, what can happen is that the students that start to take learning strategies, as in they have an IEP, so they have an individual education plan, they come in and they start to take a learning strategies course, which helps them. It's with life, it's with courses, it's with self-reg. There's so much to it. The courses in every school would be slightly different. But what I've observed often, what happens is as they go through 9, 10, 11, 12, often schools offering senior learning strategies, it starts to fall off. The students focus on just acquiring credits because of their transition to whatever the next stage is, means that I don't got time for that. Like, why would I take a course in that? Like, and I have a hard time arguing with that. I can see that in grade 11 and 12, you start to get a peek at what your future is. So to tell a student absolutely that you have to stay in a learning strategies course when it might be the kid's only opportunity to take a grade 11 physics course, you know, like it becomes a more difficult conversation. So the fact that I get to teach this grade 12 one, I'm cool with. I like that idea that I can sort of sit and do the mentorship on the tail end, like to talk to grade 12 students about what their next step is going to be, help them sort of play with some different opportunities, and get them talking about what this transition is going to look like. So when I found that out, because I knew about the ASD connection, but I didn't know what my third course basically would be. So there's three sections that you would be teaching in any one semester if you're full-time at high school. So two of my sections are in the ASD program, and then I have one more section that's going to be doing this grade 12 strategies. So one of the questions I asked, because I got to meet the department head, I said, what sort of resources should I be gathering for the grade 12 course, or do you work from a core course? They said, no, we have a core course. You're welcome to use it. Talk with the teacher that is has taught it in the past. Start working there. I was like, great. That's all the direction I need. I can design a whole grade. I can design the whole course. That's the planning. And I think that whether you like it or don't like it, that's what we're trained to do. Here's the course, or here's the course code. Look at the expectations, build the course. And then it's, you know, you get on the hamster wheel and you start pounding on it. I was pleased to hear that there was a course, because part of what's important to me going in is that I'm not going to chop down or shake the tree on their courses until I get an understanding of the culture, the connections, the relationships, like everything that sort of makes this school being 30 kilometers away is a world away in culture from where I am right now. Entirely different. So one, here's what you got me thinking about. It'll be critical for me to find those teaching partners. It'll be critical for me to find the people that I feel like I can sit with. I love that. I love that. It's a hilarious image, but the Ike and Mike, like just kind of spending time with each other and writing, so one's writing an email, one's planning, and they're face-to-face on the computers. That's camaraderie. I think there's also, I get it, a jealousy too. Like that's a level of collegiality that I get. I would say right now, definitely with my colleague in the program, that's where we're at. Like the sort of synchronicity and us sort of making decisions about programming happens exactly like that. I haven't had it like that though with somebody that is designing curriculum with me. I haven't had that in the past. And you got me thinking about the sharing the sharing economy in teaching and what that looks like. And we often kind of jump right to collaboration as the ideal, well, it's the jargon, right? There's the buzzword, collaboration. But sometimes before that, people need to be shown and comforted and guided on what it means to share. And being open to releasing your resources in a way that other people can choose to use, choose to fuse, as in sort of like put different things in it, or just to take it as an inspiration and go in a completely different direction. I'm still not entirely sure that that's a 100% thing. At secondary, I still have memories of individuals, you know, asking to have a look at their binder and having them stand there right beside you while you're at the photocopier. I really hope that that's not as common practice as it used to be, but it used to be quite astonishing that, you know, someone wouldn't just easily say, and there's a whole backstory there as to why someone wouldn't, you know, maybe their papers came back folded, maybe there was a resource missing, but in the world of digital sharing, you know, send, like, share, here you go, here's everything I've developed. Now, it also touches on, I think, part of our on-ramp that we talked about is like being able to support someone that has sort of taken all your resources and they're not feeding back into the loop. Like they're actually not giving back. I think that's also something to teach some people about sharing, that I was more paranoid when I borrowed from somebody, not that I would break or misuse their resources, but that I wouldn't measure up in sharing back. So I would use their stuff. It was so important to me that even now I've had teachers email me back and they're like, what are these three extra files inside of the shared folder? I'm like, that's what I created. Like I left it right there. Here's what I created based on what you gave me here. If you can use it, take it. And that's, again, I trained myself to do that just because I thought if someone was going to help me out, I had to leave a gift, an Easter egg. Sometimes I'd say, yeah, there's five new handouts that I've, or two, you know, hyperdocs, whatever I've created. They're in the file folder. Take them, use them if you want. But that's that sort of third layer of the collaboration of sharing, is that teaching someone that you got to put something back in there. Like you have to. So you just keep bouncing the ideas back and forth. I was happy to hear that there was a base binder for this course. I was delighted that it was flat out saying, yeah, it's there, go for it. So the key was turned, lock was popped, go. Start designing based on this backbone. Now my job is to connect with the instructor that has taught it. So activate that relationship. Get a teaching partner. Get someone that you can collaborate with and make something better. That's what I was thinking.
I like that. It's funny. What you say makes perfect sense to me, but I've never done that. I think I've twisted things, then blogged about them, and then shared the post with the people who gave me the idea. I think I've done that. I know I've done that, but I've never taken a document, used stuff, and then taken what I've used and twisted it to make it work with my students and put it back in to say, thanks, here's a twist. You can use it if you want to use it. I've never done that. I like that. But I have clearly lots of things I've done have not come from this brain. They've come from other people's amazing experiences. And then you take that experience and I want to implement it with my students. And so I look at my students, I look at their needs, I look at their strengths, and then I build around that so that they're successful with it and it works for them. Cool. The Easter egg. I like that. I also find that a lot of times people are sharing things with me in my Google Drive that I never see. So I'll say, hey, that thing you did. And they're like, yeah, I shared it with you. What do you mean? Yeah, a minute after we talked, I shared it with you. And I go into my shared area and I'm like, holy cow, they shared it with me 2 weeks ago. It's like, for me now, it's become so, I'm in my Google Drive all the time, every day, but I don't go and look and see who's sharing what with me today.
It's pretty specific. I mean, I think that's what happens when you, when you're a, what's the word used? A power user? You sort of set up the tools that draw your attention to the short stack of information. And then you've got the back end. It's like the back warehouse, right? Of all the stuff that's there. The challenge for me is always creating the system of organization that allows me to find, like, the mapping of my Google Drive. I'm still not where I want to be with it, so I can find stuff and find stuff. It's the, I almost said, I almost went expletive there. Oh. But in an energized fashion, it's the Sudoku example again, that it seems like all the time I'm setting up a system of organization in this top corner that works until it doesn't. And then I have to switch it up again. So, you know, organizing file folders, like this year, I just discovered this year to star folders. Like that's, and I kind of go, I use it for so many other things, but I never thought to star a folder just so I could create a short stack that I can easily get to fast, depending on those resources that I'm using right now. So yeah, it's the same thing people share. And sometimes I go through, there's a cool little bit of nostalgia sometimes going back through shared. And my board, I'm guessing like your board, like it's endless. Like you have a ton of storage in there. So scrolling all the way back to the first thing that was shared with you is a little bit like going back through your timeline. You can sort of see, and then you kind of go, oh man, I wonder what that teacher's doing these days. Like we're, depending on the ownership, it's like a archaeology going back through. It might not be your learning, but there are moments of possibility of learning. And I've had the same thing. I'm like, oh, that's right. That dude shared that thing with me 3 years ago. You take a peek at it and you're like, make a decision whether it was good or not good, or you get remorseful. Like, oh, I wish I had found this. It's not as easy to do with binders on the shelf. I just think about the energy it actually takes to do the exact same thing in a binder, to start flipping through the pages as opposed to just scrolling through your drive, the drive items, and you like kind of go through fast. Can I ask you a question about resources?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you throw out, what's your process for throwing out old resources? And if you have an answer, if you can speak digitally and paper-based.
It's very interesting that you asked that question, because I was just about to ask you what it's like for a secondary teacher to move to another school or classroom, because I'm in the middle of packing up my stuff, right? So my resources I packed last week, my physical resources. And as I was going through them, I was doing two things. First, I was separating them into resources that I believe will be useful to me in primary, and resources that I believe are only going to be useful to me in junior. And so I was separating those into two different boxes, so that when I get home, my junior stuff can just go hide and my primary stuff is going to be front and center for when I move into my new school. So that's the first thing I was doing. The second thing I was doing was looking at the resource and thinking, okay, is this thing relevant anymore? Have I even used it since I've been at this school? If I have, what have I used it for? And if I haven't, it's got to go. So there was a lot of recycling of actual paper resources. Mind you, there were some papers that I was like, oh, this is going nowhere. And I could dig a little bit deeper into what those are and why they're valuable to me. But there was that. There was, okay, this is going to be good in grade 1 and 2 into this box. This is certainly a grade 5 resource. I'm putting it in here. And whoa, look at this thing. Since I moved here, I haven't touched it. It's gone. Recycling bin or in the staff room for anybody who wants it. So that's the hard stuff. The digital stuff, dude, it just lives in the cloud, whether I'm using it or not. I don't go through anything with my digital to see what's good and what's not. It's just, I just don't touch it. And so when you talk about the Google Drive and having all the stuff that you're using at the front end, and then the millions of things in the back end that are there that you might not even know have been shared with you or were shared with you years ago. And you're like, whoa, I still have this thing. This thing's good stuff or whatever. I don't touch that stuff. It just lives there. So that's been my packing experience. I wanted to know, I just about 20 minutes ago, I saw a picture on Twitter that you tweeted about packing up. And I saw some boxes and stuff. And it reminds me, I sent you a picture of my classroom about a month ago with it kind of full and vibrant. So I think this week, hopefully I'll remember to send you a picture of what it looks like now. It is bare. I still have some things on the walls, but they're coming down this week because my school is going to, they're going to be doing renovations within the school. And so on Friday evening, they're going to turn off our digital key and nobody's allowed back in till the end of the summer. And because I'm transferring schools, once my digital key gets turned off, they're not going to turn it back on for that school. So I'm like, everything has to be gone by Friday because, you know, I mean, I could beg the custodian to let me in at the end of August, and I'm sure he would be fine with letting me come in and get things I've forgotten or whatever, but I just don't want to do that. My head needs to be Friday evening. I need to reflect on my year. I need to think about the awesome memories that have been made at this new school. And then my brain switches to my new school, my new job, and then figuring out how I'm going to move forward there. I got to do that. That's the way I operate. So a funny little story. Yesterday, a colleague that is also moving schools came into my room to say hello and to comment on the fact that the room looks empty. And I said, well, what about your room? How does your room look? Because you're leaving too. She's like, I'm in the middle of doing the same thing as you. I'm just not as far ahead as you. And it was just interesting because it's like, it's that like we can't even come in on the weekend. Like it's got to end Friday. And that's a little bit stressful because there are things I can't take home until Friday afternoon. You know what I mean? Like I have things in my room. Like for example, my photography equipment, the stuff that I use and my students used to make our YouTube videos, I'm not taking that home Monday because we might be sparked with something on Tuesday. We might want to capture it on video and post it to YouTube. Well, I can't just grab my equipment and take it. So I have to remember Friday afternoon that I've got some pretty cool equipment that belongs to me that I need to take home. But I'm so used to having it in a particular place locked up that I may just forget to do it. So there's a lot going on there, right? There's a lot going on there, and it's not forefront because forefront are the students in front of me and that we still have a week of instruction and supervision. Even though the report cards are written and done, I still have a week of instruction and supervision. So there's a lot going on when you have to move schools and that you've got like a constraint, like I'm not allowed back in. It's not my building anymore.
That's definitely an extra layer. That's definitely an extra layer. The idea of when it's not just a matter of transitioning into the next school year, but where you have a transition between the transition. So I went through something similar 3 or 4 years ago when the school was, they were going, they're going to be doing asbestos abatement. They were putting in new, doing stuff with the HVAC in the system. So they were going to be knocking walls and a ton of stuff. And it actually started, at the beginning of this, at the beginning of the school year, but it also created no fly zones like at Christmas. So there was no opportunity. And there's some instructors they'll want to go in over Christmas. There's a couple extra days. You couldn't go in on March break. The principal was saying, like, when you go home, everything is, it's the logistics are all that, like your area is going to be totally masked off. Like you can't go in there at all. And then over the summer, everything had to be packed up in boxes. And so that the boxes, like every department had to pack up all their stuff because stuff was going to be shifted around the school as they were doing the finishing of the job. So everybody was kind of in that mode of, wow, it feels like we're changing schools. Like everybody was sort of put into that mix. So it's fascinating to sort of put that into the exact same mix as individuals that are just trying to decide, do I keep this resource or this resource at the end of the year? There's a lot of that going on. I like what you said about the Google Drive, just like that's Bermuda Triangle. Like it just keeps going and going and going. There's something in me though, every once in a while, I like to go in to delete something. I think just to remind me that it's useful to do that, to sort of go in and take a peek and make space, even though it's a funny thing that Google has done, the sort of convincing us that we're limitless, because it's not true. It's completely not true. And I know for some people that's entirely overwhelming. Like me going through and finding a document that someone shared with me from 3 years ago, I'm like, oh man, like how did I, that's kind of hilarious. I've seen other people in that exact same moment breaking down because they can't find, they want to find that document. I think to myself, like leaving the program that I'm in right now, when I left my previous school to go to the program that I'm in, like I left everything behind. I didn't take anything with me. I took no paper-based stuff with me, zero, because I had so much stuff digitally. And I think also I completely embraced the idea that I can generate new stuff and I'll like the process of generating new stuff. And when I think of that balance between having the trouble sometimes of finding the thing that's been shared with you, it's less trouble just to design it again once you get good at designing digitally and you feel comfortable in the curriculum. You know what I mean? Like it's sort of, if it's going to take me an hour to find the thing and then tweak it another hour, or I spend an hour and a half designing it from scratch based on memory, what do you do? So leaving school now, that's very much leaving the school that I'm in now and moving forward, I was trying to get to beyond some of the book resources, the inspirational things that sort of keep my operating system tuned. I'm just walking out with my laptop on the last day. Like it's, and I started sort of packing things up at the beginning of June. The extra bits at the beginning of June. I think it caused some stress to my colleague, but I just started, yeah.
Okay, so the last week, dude, what's your plan for the last week of school? Decode it for us with respect, like throw in your layer, you're leaving, going to a new school, but you got one more week. Break that down for what that looks like for you in secondary.
Well, it kind of flows. The last week is the last 2 weeks in secondary, only in so much as our exam schedule started on Wednesday. So this previous Monday, Tuesday were the last two class days for the school year. So that would have been, I don't know, check your calendar. Whatever Monday, Tuesday was, those were the last two official school days. So Wednesday was the first day of our exam schedule. So we have 5 days of exams. And on each day, students are coming in to write exams. So our program, it's very similar. The students are coming in the morning, they're writing exams. In the afternoons, there's no scheduled classes. So for anybody at secondary, there's no scheduled classes. Sorry, I'll speak to my board. I'm going to assume that it's similar in all of Ontario. Students are coming in, depending on, I guess sometimes there's exams in the afternoon. They'll double stack them. Sometimes they'll do that so that depending on when a school has its graduation ceremony, and there are some schools that the graduation ceremony is next week. And so they front end the grade 12 exams so that all marks are in, and so schools will play with that. Okay. So 5 days of exams, and then afternoons are typically free. So that's when you're cleaning up, packing things away, marking exams, marking final summatives, perhaps meeting with parents, meeting with teachers, but there's no classes scheduled. So we went Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, exam schedule's done. The Wednesday is exam review day. So it is a school day. Students come back in. They can sort of meet with their teachers, discuss final marks, final planning. Maybe they, you know, do the high fives, great school year. Typically that's a half day, but teachers are kind of available all day long. And then Thursday, Friday are professional activity days for us. So two PD days on the tail end. So that's it. For me, because of the size of the program, I guess we benefit from the generalized schedule. We, you know, we could, in some cases, have all the students that we have, because there's a blend with our program. Some students are writing exams, but those exams I have to take back over to their home schools. So I'll do a digital scan of that exam, send that to the teacher as soon as the kid is done. And then I'll put it in, you know, I'll actually drive it over to the high school and put it into the teacher's mailbox, just because they're going to have their marks done according to the timeline of their school. So there's a little bit of that. We have a full staff luncheon this Thursday. There's other people that are leaving the program, so there'll be the cheers and tears of that. Thursday morning, officially, so the first of the two last PD days, is the day where all transfer teachers go to their new school and sit in on staff activities in the morning. So I'll be back at the new high school on Thursday morning, and then in the afternoon, later afternoon, coming back to my old site to do some last wrap up. And then Friday's going to be kind of loose. I don't know. I was wondering whether or not I was going to try and go over to the new school again. But there'll be some wrap up stuff, I'm sure, for my colleague and I in the classroom. And that's the flow.
Right on. Well, in elementary, we have a full week with the kids.
I know.
From start bell to end bell, we're with the kids. I know my students and I are having a mini celebration on Tuesday. We're doing our own little thing to reflect on the school year and to celebrate it. And then on Friday morning, there is a year-end assembly. So we're going to recognize the students of the month for June. And I guess we're going to say goodbye formally to our principal, who's retiring. And probably they'll say bye to the teachers that are leaving. Other than that, it's going to be interesting because the report cards go home on Tuesday. And so the students come back on Wednesday and they're like, well, we passed and you can't change our report card now. So like, I guess we're just going to chill for the next 3 days. So there's that negotiation of we're not going to chill, but we kind of are. Because you're right. I mean, the reports, like, you've been formally evaluated, but I'm still responsible for you, and you're still going to keep doing some form of learning for the next few days. So it's always, for me, in my mind, it's always like, it's difficult, right? Like, I get where the kids are coming from, but I'm like, no, as long as you're with me, I have responsibilities and duties. And so we have to have, like, there still has to be, a perimeter around this bit of action here that's going to be going on. It's not just going to be free for all. So I'm hoping that we engage in some activities, which we've already been doing. Like this past week, the kids have been working on a couple of projects, open-ended stuff that I've kind of thrown out at them. Like, this is kind of what I want you to think about based on all the learning we've done this year. Go and create this. Or here's the idea. Do something with this idea and then come back and present this to the class. So they're in the middle of that. And, you know, they're working in groups. Again, they're working in and out of the room. It's like a culmination of all the things that I've been trying to, like, get across to them. Like, the learning doesn't have to happen here. It can happen in different ways. Here's the goal. Here's some criteria to get you to the goal. Do it. Go and do it. So there's a lot of that happening. And it's going to be like intensified this week.
Do you have a whole school celebration?
We have, no, we had our mission day yesterday. So yesterday afternoon, we had this, it's like a carnival in that students buy tickets. And then for 2 hours in the afternoon, they are set free in the building to go to different rooms and participate in different activities and raffles and stuff using their tickets. And then the school donates that money to a charity of some sort or several charities. So this is kind of our answer to, like, being charitable and giving back to our community. It's called Mission Day. And every school I've been at has had some form of mission day. So it is a celebration. It's like a carnival for kids. And you know, their focus is not on donating to charity. Their focus is going to the snack room and blowing 20 tickets on junk food, and then going to the White Elephant sale and getting things that their parents would never buy them, and then going to the book sale and like getting some cool books. Like, this is, their mind is in the fun, which is great. It's for them to have fun. But Monday, we'll talk about how much money we raised and who's getting that money and why it's important that we do this, that we give to people that need it. That's part of what our system's about. It's part of our faith to give back and to help people that need it. And I would say that, you know, that's outside of my faith. I would say most people would agree that it is important to help people that need the help. Most people. I've met a couple people recently with the Ontario election that don't feel it's necessary to help others, but that's a whole other story. But the big thing this week is that I'm still with them all day long. They're still with me all day long, even though they're going to have their evaluations at home. It's over that way, but there are rules and there are responsibilities that we have to follow. And I've made that clear. It's not falling apart next week. It's not happening, especially because it's my last week at the school and I want to leave on a good note, right? I want to leave on a good note. And there's going to be, I've already had some testing of boundaries this past week. We've had students that had to go home early this week because of behavior issues and, the inability or not having any interest in applying any type of control or self-regulation to those behaviors. So I'm hoping that we'll start Monday off in a really like good way. I want to check in with everybody. I want to make sure everybody's good for the week and then just take it day by day. That's what's happening in elementary. Plus I'm leaving, so I have to make sure I have all my gear. I have that, you know, it's interesting. Over the past 2 weeks, every day at lunch, I put a little bit more stuff in my car, right? I pack up a little bit more. But I want to throw a wrench in all this. And then I know you have to go, Chris. Here's the wrench I'm tossing into the machinery. It's been very difficult for me to get my planning time over the last couple of weeks because our boards has been having a lot of failure to fills. And so we've been having teachers away, but nobody's come in to replace them. And then we lose our planning time because our planning time teachers need to go and take over those classes. And so there is a frustration because I have recess and lunches to pack. I don't even have planning time to prepare. So I'm preparing on other time and making calls on other times, but I'm also trying to pack up my class. So there's that frustration, and this week people are going to be away, and we already know that the system doesn't have people to bring in. So it's almost like we're prepping to not be able to prepare, which really sucks. And that's it.
So next week, last episode of our season one, ish.
Yes, sir. The last episode of our experiment of documenting our thinking, learning issues, successes week by week since the week before school started in this 2017-2018 school year. It's pretty cool.
Should it be an entirely musical episode? I'm totally joking.
I was going to say, maybe every time you want to talk, you could play a song.
Yeah.
And then when your song ends, I could talk. I don't know.
Or all in Klingon. I don't know. Something that'll wrap it. Can I ask you one more thing before we bust out?
Yeah.
So in the spirit of you, and I think you had mentioned it, we've talked about this in a lot of different ways as far as cleaning up our feeds. So, you know, we spoke quite we spoke to Google. I mean, we talked about, you know, examining paper resources, social media. Is there any refreshment that you've been thinking about moving forward with your social media feed in relation to your transition? So one of the things I've noticed for me, it's like, okay, so my feed now, I will say a very high percentage of my feed right now is I will say it's American educators, probably a higher percentage of American educators, but not ed tech, not self-reg. The larger part of my American educator cohort is entirely politicized. It's entirely politicized, and sort of the events that are happening right now with the detainment and separation of families in the US. And there's, I find that every single one of the educators that I'm following, and they're new individuals from when I sort of took my break, they're brand new people that are speaking on there. That's a very large part of my feed right now. The second part of my feed was trying to connect, understand, and learn from individuals with autism. So people that, one of the hashtags is actually autistic. So individuals that are writing from inside an experience of living with autism and learning with autism and speaking out, advocating on behalf of individuals with autism in all colors and all shades and all sort of like versions. So it's, I have a real sense that my feed is entirely different as of coming back to Twitter, entirely different. There's individuals in there that were some of the peeps that I followed previously, but their voices are so much more quiet in comparison to some of these other pieces that are going on, admittedly, you know, American influence. I would say that the higher percentage of my American influence before was always, it was about, are you going to ISTE? Are you going to any one of the cons that are in the States, right? These big sort of like ed tech kind of things. And a lot of those ed tech voices were in that mix. I have so few of them now, so few. So just wondering, moving forward, how will your transition, will your transition to the new place include looking for and connecting with new resources in your social media feeds?
That's a great question. A really good question. I've not really considered it. I know that I think things will shift a little bit in that I will try to break back into like the primary crew that I used to follow and interact with, because when I moved to junior, I felt like a lot of the stuff they were doing, I could beef up into junior, but then I just lost connection with them. So I'm thinking that might be a move, like trying to reconnect, visit those sites, those resources, those people to kind of get my brain back into that. So that's my professional perspective, but from my class Twitter account, it's going to shift hard because I am going to start following and start engaging with the people at my new school and their Twitter accounts and their Twitter handles and my new school's Twitter handle. I need to immerse myself into my new school's community world online. And they have a heavy presence on Twitter, the school. And I've noticed that a lot of the primary educators in the division they're there. So I just need to connect. But I like what you're saying about your Twitter feed and how it's shifted since you've returned. And I'm happy for you, because I know that you're looking for something different. You're looking for something that's going to feed you in a way that you want to be fed. I get that. I totally get it. And your return to Twitter, for example, and Instagram has provided me with a really cool perspective and has got me reflecting on what do I want from this now? What am I looking for here, right? And when I first got there, I was, the fire hose was there and my mouth was wide open. And I was that guy sitting in front of the hose and the water was just going in and just splashing everywhere. I'm not really interested in that anymore.
It's hard though, eh?
It's hard and it tires you out.
Yeah.
I'm more intentional now, but that doesn't stop me from jumping in here and there. But I'm just more intentional. Like, I guess I'm just looking for different things. I just followed an educator this morning that apparently is in a board in Ontario. She's an innovation coach or something. I just saw it pop up and I'm like, hey, this is good. This is good stuff. Innovation's a good thing. So I'm always kind of still looking for that. Great question, dude. I haven't really thought it out professionally. I've thought it out about my class account, but not really for me and my learning. But I do like that that you've shifted gears.
I don't know. I feel, yeah. This goes into, you know, maybe our closing next, our season closer next week. But it comes down to, you know, if I expect to be different, if I expect to improve, if I expect to evolve, and I don't want to make it as simple, like say somehow, like this is like declaring New Year's resolutions, right? That somehow just because of a standardized event, summer break, I don't want to make it about that because it could easily be sloughed off as, well, yeah, of course everyone comes back in September and it's a new year. And, but that's the stuff that everybody gets for free. Everybody gets that moment. You come back in September, it's a new chance to do cool stuff. Like that's the one that's the free giveaway. If I Goggins myself a bit and I think back to all the conversations that you have and I have, and I go in, I say, I have X amount of time to enact or activate the full potential of that new school year. I can't, when I sort of land there, I can't say to myself that it's just going to happen and I have to be happy with it because I feel like then I'm eating somebody else's breakfast. So if I'm going into September with, I know I'm changing schools. If I know I'm changing schools and I'm going in September, how am I building that intention? Remember you and I talked about that, you know, that idea that, not the idea, but how long it took to put together a podcast initially. And then all of a sudden you knock it down to X amount of time, but you got used to having that extra amount of time. The difference, what are you doing with that time? So if I am improving and becoming better, how am I intentionally actually feeding into making it better? And part of that is, what do I need to add to my feed in order to credibly and reasonably say that it is a robust, powerful, and supportive PLN? And I think it's probably difficult because you got to scroll back through that. You got to go back through the Google Drive. You got to go back and you got to live in those moments like missed opportunities. And I should say thank you to that person. Like, holy crap, there's so much stuff here. And this is all me. Or is it? So I'm looking forward to sort of, that's been a bit of my process, is where in my feed, how much of my feed, what percentage of my feed I intentionally put there or just happens to be there. I don't like the just because. I don't like the just. And I'm not saying necessarily to cut people loose. I just have to understand and accept the stuff that is just because and the stuff that is building fire in the engine for me. So.
Very good. Before we go, are you able to show us your sketch or no? It's not.
It's 99% there. You're going to crack up. You're going to crack up. You want to see?
Yeah, right. I'd love to see. Oh, nice twist. Wow, Clough.
Can you see the whole thing? I can't see my camera anymore.
All I can see are you and I as Bert and Ernie. That's what I see.
That's it?
That's it. Oh, okay. Now I can see it. Interesting.
So, very cool. Yeah, I'll send you. I haven't finished the right column yet. I didn't get the idea out yet.
Fair enough. Thanks for another great episode. And
you too, bro. You too.
I'm really looking forward to the last one of season one-ish next week.
Tears and cheers.
Okay, see ya.